from a breast cancer she'd had 15 years earlier. They thought they got it all. Sally McPhail is going to have knee surgery to remove the hardware they put in for her knee. Remember her. Carly came home from camp sick, and so did Lily and Wesley. And Wesley's been tested. She doesn't have COVID, and that's good. The Templetons, both Dee and his wife Tina, both have health issues. The Skippers, Billy and his dad, both suffer from that COPD and a number of health issues. Tommy Nance is Linda Brooks' brother, has cancer. He's on the Keytruda. He did all the chemo he could take. Now he's on the Keytruda, and he's able to keep going. He's you know, it's not easy to take those medicines, but it's he's doing okay. Fran, his sister, Fran Pegler, has health issues, and her son Ron has to have those protein infusions every week. Terry Nance has got knee and hip trouble. Pat and Tammy Munn both have health issues. They were both here Sunday. Deborah Durkee is Paula Sprague's sister that has cancer, lives out in California. Russ Mabry is a gentleman who attends our church. Ron Mabry, that's his brother, he has cancer. Charles Holland is Debbie's father-in-law. O. Tyson, Kitty, and Bob. Bob has some eye issues, and Kitty is on chemo pills, just like Carol Holloway. Brandy has cancer. Wayne Connor, David Ballard. And then back trouble, Julie, Sue Clark, Sue Thomas, Jerry Lark, and Jimmy Cato. The my brain's not working. Continue to remember Lisa Hood. Roberto's here tonight. He had a couple of days he wasn't feeling well. His sister got to come for a visit. She's back in Guatemala, and she'll start chemo real soon for breast cancer, but it's stage 2. So the doctor says she should have a good outlook. We're glad for that. Remember Irwin's son, Roberto, in California. Pray for his needs. Rick Sturgis, cancer. Neely Morrison, cancer. Doug Morrison had his back operated on to take a screw out and put another one in where he had rods put in his back. And Cindy Taylor is here, but she's having some health issues along with her breathing trouble. And James Morrison has a kidney stone that's very large. They're supposed to go in August and try to do something with it. I have an appointment August the 19th to go back to Augusta, Georgia and have a CT scan and meet with the urology department. I think I'm going to push them about doing something with mine too. VBS is coming up the last Sunday night in the month. We will start here in the auditorium at 6:30 in the evening. We won't have a regular church, but there will be an adult service during the VBS. And the adults, if you don't have kids, you can leave as soon as your adult teacher. Jason, you going to do the adults? Okay, well, as soon as he's finished with the message, if you don't have children to wait around for, you can leave. So they will have an adult service, there'll be teen services, and then the rest will be for the kids, for VBS. So don't forget that. And Donna would love for you to come help finish up the decorating that needs to be done. And we're going to lose Jacob and Nathan to junior camp next week, all week. So that's going to be kind of a critical time because they're going to have to start putting this stuff up at some point. and we could use some volunteers and help, and we'll send out emails and let you know while we're doing things and all that. Next week, the ball games, they won last night. Ball games be Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday next week. The Monday night game is at 6:15. It'll be at Dobie Bridge Field 1. Then the other two on Tuesday night and Thursday night, they're still at 6:15 each night, but they'll be at Field 2 for Tuesday night and Thursday night. And they'll be missing Andrew and Jacob will be at junior camp. So maybe if y'all cheer hard, they'll win. You know, if you cheer hard. Eugene Parks is on our prayer list. It's Linda Brooks' nephew with Lou Gehrig's disease. Kathy Adamski, who had a fall. Dan Huddler's nephew, who has a brain tumor removed. They only got about 95% of it. And then her sister had the open heart surgery, is not snapping back immediately. Samuel had some family with some health issues we wanted to remember. And we don't have any Mark. None of them are in here, are they? They're with the kids. I don't know. Gwen's with the kids, too. I don't know how her grandmother, if she's improved okay with her wrist after she fell and broke it. JT's here tonight. You got some heart issues. You still got something coming up, or you already had it done? August 5th. Ultrasound on your neck, okay. And who else? Anybody got somebody we didn't mention tonight? The Scruggs will be traveling back from Arkansas this week. They've been there because of Sharon's mother, and I think she had some health issues, and I think she's gotten her finances all out of whack, and she doesn't want to listen to anybody to get things under control or whatever, so she asked prayer for her and for their travel. Anyone else? Prayer request? Yes. Okay. Okay, both girls pregnant. That's nice in the same year. Huh? Yeah, maybe. We had three in the same year, four, all four in the same year. Well, that ain't under his control. All right, anybody else we miss? Ira? Okay. Okay. Pray for Vera travel coming back from Ukraine. Okay. Cornwall's traveling, vacationing. We get everybody? Cindy? Okay. Okay. Remember Prendale. Carly, you know, had COVID when she came back from camp. We have no idea how she got exposed, whether it was before she went or at camp or what. And she did not have a bad case. She felt bad for a couple of days, but I think she's okay now. And we don't know. Wesley didn't feel good, but Wesley was tested, and she tested negative. So we're not sure, you know, what's going on. But remember them in your prayers. Yes, sir, Joey. Okay. Pray for Kayla.
Just to add to that, my nephew lives in Greenville, North Carolina, and the kid that works for him was at the Wilds, and he came back and had fevers. He got tested, and he had strep throat.
Oh.
So it could be, you know, you don't know what's going around, but that's what he had. He was up there at the Wilds.
Yeah, that's as contagious as anything strep throat is, you know. That's, and you got to get an antibiotic to get over that stuff usually. Okay, well, let's pray and ask the Lord to intervene and give healing and help and wisdom for decisions and supply the needs of folks who have health issues, and pray that the Lord will be glorified to bless folks and meet their needs and help them. And these two girls with their deliveries and their survival of their grandparents through all that. I suspect there'll be some extra babysitting going on for the existing family children and all. Jason Wills, remember your dad's family. Remember us in prayer if you would, and remember them as they travel to your dad and mom. Please.
Also,
Proverbs 28 is where your outline starts. We closed last week dealing with the anatomy, the heart of man, the eyes of man, the thoughts of man, the tongue of man, the walk of man, the compassion of man, well, the body is involved and all the parts. We saw in verse 20 of chapter 28, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So God wants us to be faithful. He wants faithfulness from us. It's more important than talent. It's more important than success. It's more important than money that we are faithful to the Lord. I ask the question, can God count on us to be faithful? Are we being faithful to Him as a witness, telling other people about Him? Are we being faithful to His church to the best of our ability? Are we being faithful to obey the Word as we study it? And are we faithful in our devotional life? So doing our best as a Christian to be found faithful is vitally important. Verse 21 and 22, to have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Greed and a lack of character can go together. I've known several people who've been guilty of being greedy, and they've fallen for scams to get rich quick, to get exorbitant amounts of interest promised to them on their retirement accounts, and they bought into something that was a Ponzi scheme, and they lost a lot of money, lost their whole retirement. And they should have known better, because the interest that they were talking about gaining was just not feasible. Nobody else was earning that kind of interest, and it is sad to see that kind of thing happen. There was a local minister in Rock Hill that spent 10 years in the federal penitentiary for fraud, and he was one of those that was promising people to triple their money in 90 days and things like that. And he was supposedly hooked up with somebody in another country that was going to use the foreign exchange rate in that country for when they would exchange money. And it does fluctuate, you know, what it gets for a dollar and what it gets for their money. And sometimes people that play the market there can make a little money off of it, but it's not something you can make exorbitant amounts of money off of. And so the federal guys came to Rock Hill, confiscated two brand new Cadillac automobiles and $2 million out of his bank accounts, and put him in prison for fraud. And he tried to say he thought it was a legitimate thing, but they proved where even after he knew for a fact it was not a legitimate thing, he continued to sell this to other people to get more money. And so he went to jail over it. And I don't know why some people are so stupid they think they can get away with stuff. Sooner or later they're going to get caught. You know, sooner or later those kind of things are going to get found out. And how foolish people are when they think they can do things and never have to pay a price for it. If nothing else, they're going to pay a price when they stand before God. Verse 23, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Jesus rebuked the churches of Asia Minor. And the way he did that was he began by praising them for all the things that they were doing that were right. And then he rebuked them for the things they were doing that were sinful or were wrong. And he warned them to repent, or they would pay a consequence. They would be chastened. They would lose their power. They would take away their light as a church. And those who hearken unto the correction can later look back and see where that was best, and they would appreciate the warning or the rebuke. It's important that if we rebuke somebody, a Christian friend, that we do it in the right way, that we do it with kind words, that we do it with not a heated argument or something of that nature to stir up tempers. And when folks see that you've helped them by telling them the truth, even in correcting them, they can appreciate it. and it may make for lasting friendship. Verse 24 through 27, "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it's no transgression, the same is a companion of a destroyer. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Y'all see that verse right there, don't you? Verse 25. Verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." And verse 27, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." One writer wrote, I believe it was Warren Wiersbe, wrote, "The heart of every problem is the problem of the heart." And the heart is involved in the things that we do. Jesus said, "From the heart of man comes every kind of evil." Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" In Matthew 12:34 and Luke 6:45, Jesus discussed the heart of man. He said, "Out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." He said, "A good man out of the treasury of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the treasury of his heart proceeds evil." So the godly show compassion on the poor and will be blessed in their deeds, and the wicked will be judged for their actions. Verse 29, "When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase." Wicked men in power will cause godly men to withdraw from them. We saw that in the lesson last week, as I mentioned that when Israel was divided as nations and not unified under David and Solomon, they often would say, "Every man to his tents," and that means they would revolt against the current king and his rulings and that sort of thing. They even did that against David at one point in time, but David won them over and united the kingdom and by being caring and good and godly. Now we begin in chapter 29 and beginning with verse number 1, the dire warning before it's too late. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now sometimes we call people hard-hearted. Lord often referred to men who were rebellious as stiff-necked. In Genesis 6, verse 5 through 8, I want to turn there and read that if you'd like to look with me or just listen. Genesis 6 and verse 5 through 8. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." So God had warned them through the preaching of Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The entire time Noah lived and built the ark, he was preaching righteousness to the people. And yet the only converts that are recorded are his family, because his family entered the ark with him, his three sons and their wives and his wife, and they were safe and secure because they were righteous. Now, you know, whether or not we debate whether or not someone was converted under Noah but died before the flood came, we don't know all those kind of things. But what we do know is that they were warned, and Noah preached righteousness and the coming of the Lord, but they did not repent, and they continued in their wickedness and evil imaginations, and God destroyed them. So those often warn and yet harden themselves and continue in sin will suddenly be destroyed. They'll come to a total destruction without opportunity. In AD 70, there were a multitude of tragic deaths among the Jewish people because of the Roman general Titus, who brought the Roman armies down upon them and destroyed the temple and mingled the blood of the people with the blood of the sacrifices and pronounced a great judgment upon them. In the book of Judges, for 400 years, Israel was reproved over and over again. There were seven major times that other nations ruled over them, and some 13 total episodes where they repented and turned back to God, and then in a short while they went back to living in sin and failing to follow the Word of God. Well, we know righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people, and that is true with all mankind. Righteous rulers cause rejoicing, but when the wicked rule, there will be mourning. Verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now, beginning in chapter 29, Solomon writes of seven kinds of people that the king needed to be cautious of. The first one that he discusses is the wicked in verse number 2. The wicked are those who are lawless. In the United States Supreme Court back in the 60s, a number of liberal activist judges became Supreme Court judges. And it was during 1961 through 1963 that God was kicked out of the public school. And then in a separate ruling, prayer was taken out of the public school. And then by the time the 70s rolled around, abortion was put in on demand, and the ruling was based on a lie, a fabrication of a story about a young girl not being able to get an abortion, and the whole thing was a fabrication. And went through, and a law was passed, and all these years now that Christians have spoke out against it and marched against it and all that, it is still a law of the land because of the liberal Supreme Court jurists that were ruling during that time period. That's why we have not seen yet the benefit that just Trump's 3 short years and able to get rulings passed, his one term, 4 years as a president. He put in hundreds of federal judges and several in the Supreme Court. And that's why the liberals want to change the balance of the Supreme Court and put more judges in so they can swing it the other way again back to the liberal side instead of being laid over a little bit to the conservative side. And so that is something that helps in ruling the country, is to have judges, because we've seen in the last 40 years that how many of these judges legislate from the bench by outlawing something or allowing something or not allowing something based on a ruling when it's not their place to make law. That's the place of Congress. And but we've had a problem with all of that for years, and that's why it was so good to see conservative judges getting in who would rule in the right way. And but it won't take long for the wrong kind of people in power to turn that away. Verse 3, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The last part of verse 3, we think about the prodigal son. His brother accused him of wasting his living on harlots. And then he came home to his father. And he was angry about the father making a big party for him after he had stayed there and served his father. And the prodigal had been gone and wasted his substance. But when younger love wisdom, they please their parents. Those given to sexual sins can waste their living, and they waste their time as well in chasing an avenue that is not not beneficial to them. Now we next have the second man can be applied in this part of the verse and in other as we go on down, and that is the man guilty of sexual sins, spending their substance with harlots. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 1 through 5 says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every wife have her own husband. And let them render due benevolence one to another, that they are not tempted with temptations for sexual sins because they have an active sexual life between the husband and wife. And this is a person who is guilty of sexual sins can be easily deceived. He can be like these political people in the last years we've seen who got hooked up with spies who were seductresses that went out with them and they developed a relationship with, and they could have been undermining the whole country because of their desires. And nowadays it's not just men with women. You know, the way the country is nowadays, there's no telling what it may be. Verse 4 through 6, we pick up with the third type. The king by judgment establishes a land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. So a man seduces and bribes, sets a trap for others by using flattery. And men lacking integrity are easily bribed. We see how important it is that the people who serve as Congress and Senate and ambassadors and Secretary of State and all these kind of offices are tempted by many opportunities to sell out the country for personal financial gain. We saw where Hillary Clinton's foundation received hundreds of millions of dollars from Russia to sell all the uranium assets of the United States to a foreign power, and yet it went into their foundation, and in their foundation spent about $6 million on their daughter's wedding. Now, how that's not crooked, you tell me. But that kind of thing happening has always been publicly announced about Biden's son. Now, I don't know all the details, but supposedly he's been working for a gas concern in the Ukraine and making hundreds of thousands of dollars and has absolutely no credibility of knowing how to do the job that he's being paid for or anything of that nature. And the accusation is it's over his influence with his father and with the political realm, even when his father was vice president. And he's had some artwork he's done, sketches. And people are buying these things for hundreds of thousands of dollars. And if it was in an art gallery somewhere, people wouldn't pay a dollar and a half for it. But they're paying all that money because it's going into the pockets of a political person with influence. And that's what it's all about. That sort of thing ought to be completely illegal. John Kerry sold out the United States to Iran over that nuclear deal and over that agreement with them over nuclear stuff, and that's one of the worst enemies we could have and the worst enemy that Israel has. And yet he continues to rule and reign within the Democratic Party of the United States. You say, preacher, does that make you mad? Yes, 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 it makes me mad. When Solomon built the temple, he prayed for God to bless the nation of Israel. And he said, Lord, if the people sin and turn away from you and fail to do everything they should, if they come back to this place and repent of their sins and make their sacrifices, will you forgive them and restore them? And 2 Chronicles 7:14 is God's answer to that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So Solomon had great understanding of this. The only problem was that Solomon didn't let this carry him through his entire reign as a king. He married many foreign women and he took many gifts from pagans who didn't believe in the Lord. In 1 Kings 10 and verse 23, "So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. He received great wealth from many, but there was the influence of immorality through all these women that he married. The king built places where these women from other countries who worshiped other gods would have a place to worship their God inside Israel and inside the kingdom. And Solomon attended their worship with them. And God was certainly angered with this, but because of David and because of the good that Solomon had done, he did not remove him as he had done with Saul. We go back to Proverbs 29, the fourth type of person, verse 7. "The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to knoweth it. Selfish men the king must avoid." David worked well with the poor. He remembered Mephibosheth, who was the son of Jonathan, his beloved friend, the son of Saul. Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle, and David grieved and wept over them. And he sought an heir of their family to do a blessing to him. Mephibosheth was crippled. When his governess had ran away with him when Saul and Jonathan were killed, she fell. And his legs were broken, and he was crippled from that day forward. And David brought Mephibosheth to him in the kingdom and said, "We're going to restore all the lands and all the cattle and everything to you that were your father's, but you will come and eat at my table with me." And Mephibosheth said, I'm just a dead dog. You know, what am I that the king would take this kind of note in me?" And there's a great teaching there about the grace of God to us as sinners. And Mephibosheth saw the grace from the king. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 9. But there are many who avoid the poor completely. We think about the story of the rich man and Lazarus and how Lazarus was at his gate begging and was broken out in sores all over his body and was pleased when dogs would come and lick his sores because it gave him some relief. And the rich man paid him no attention and it did nothing for him. And the rich man did not go to hell because he rejected Lazarus. He went to hell because he did not receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. But he was judged by his works, and part of his works were that he did nothing for the poor, even though he was very rich. And then in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46, the judgment of nations that will take place after the tribulation and the end times will be based upon how men in the tribulation treat Israel, that they do not feed them, they do not care for them, they do not help them, they do not minister to them. And they will say, you know, "When did we not do this unto you, Lord Jesus?" And he said, "When you did not do it to the least of these that were mine, then you did not do it for me. And if you did do it for the least of these that are mine, you did it as unto me." And so that's a principle that we try to help believers, especially those of the house of faith who have needs, and it's like doing it for the Lord because they are his people. The selfish man, the fourth one in verse 7. Verse 8 and 9. "Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest." A scornful man. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The seat of the scornful. A scornful man is one who uses division and complaints. Sheba led in a revolt for Absalom against his father David when he rebelled against his father and tried to take the kingdom from him. But Joab sought him to destroy him. And Joab followed him. He put a dart through Absalom's heart. And the Bible says he died like a fool. And Sheba sounded a trumpet and called for the 10 tribes of the north to gather together against David and to rebel in the rebellion. And Sheba heard that Joab was coming for him. He fled to a town called Abel. And in the town of Abel, they had a walled city, and he was within the walled city hiding. Well, Joab found out about this and went to that walled city and made preparation to tear down the wall and to go in and slay everybody in that city to get Sheba to destroy him. And so the Bible says a wise woman came to the wall and called over to Joab and asked, "Why would you destroy the town? We are your people and we would not do anything against you. Why would you destroy us?" And he told her of Sheba. And she went among her city and told all of the people. And so, I love this, they threw the head of Sheba over the wall to Joab. And Joab took his head and retreated with his men and left the rest of the people alone because it stopped the battle in that day. Well, this Sheba was a scornful man. He spread rumor and lies and scorned the king. And because of it, he caused a great, great upheaval. Verse 10, "The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul." The seventh type of man that the king must be careful of is the bloodthirsty. Men hate those who are upright. We as Christians are people of the Bible and followers of Jesus. And so the unbelieving world hates us just like they hate the Bible and just like they hated Jesus. And so as long as we serve the Lord and live for God and say the Bible is the Word of God and the absolute authority, they are going to have a hatred for us. Saul had a man like that who hated his enemies. His name was Doeg. He was an Edomite, a descendant of the Edomite people. In 1 Samuel 22:9, Saul found out that the priest in that day had helped David while David was fleeing from Saul. Now, the priest didn't know that there was the ought between Saul and David that there was. He thought David was Saul's servant. And he said to Saul, who is a greater servant to you than David? And so Saul wanted to kill the priest because he helped David get away. And so he told his servants to go and fall upon the priest and all of his family and slay them, but his servants would not do that. They had enough character and enough belief in God that they would not slay the priest. And so he turned to Doeg, the Edomite, and he killed 85 persons that day with the edge of the sword. Men, women, children, babies, oxen, asses, and sheep. 85 people. He shed their blood. He was a bloodthirsty man. And no ruler needs that kind of person around them as a counselor or an influence in their life. Abiathar was the son of the priest, fled to David to tell him what Doeg had done. And David immediately was grieved in his heart for the massacre, but also because he said, "I knew when I left the priest and I saw Doeg, that he would go and tell Saul about what had taken place. He said, I have caused the death of all these people. And he wrote Psalm 52 in a brokenhearted way after Doeg had massacred the priest and all of his family and children. And today there's plenty of bloodthirsty people. Islam is as bloodthirsty as you can get. All these beheadings that they have done of innocent people, lay them out on a beach on their hands and knees with their hands tied behind their back and cut their heads off with a sword and all that sort of thing. They're bloodthirsty. And these are wicked, and they'll pay one day for their bloodthirsty ways, and God will get the victory. So those are seven types of people that a king must beware of. A king must not allow to become a part of his rulers, of his cabinet, of people that influence him and give him counsel in how he is to rule. Verse 11 says, fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Remember the little saying we use sometimes? I was going to speak up, but I thought somebody may have thought I was a fool. So I opened my mouth and removed all doubt. And the fool speaks when he ought to keep quiet. And a wise man learns to control his tongue. A wise man learns when he shouldn't speak. That's a very important thing to learn. We'll look at verse 12 and stop. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. Rulers who follow lies will have wicked servants. And many are like that today. They are influenced in the political realm by those who will tell lies. And it's their responsibility to find truth and to follow truth and to lead the nation for truth, that we might have God's help and not the deceitful and wicked of the world. Thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate your faithfulness. Pray the kids are learning good in their programs. And you'll have to stick around, wait for them to finish up. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness of your people. We thank you for your love for us and your mercy. We pray that you will speak to hearts and help us to grow through our knowledge of the Word and put it into practice in our daily lives. We thank you and praise you. And again, we lift up this sick list, Father, and we ask you to intervene in the lives of all these that we've called out their names tonight before you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.